May the Lord help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 778. 778. Though straight be the way, with dangers beset, and we on the way are no farther yet, our good guide and Saviour has helped us thus far, and 'tis by his favour we are what we are. Hymn 778.
Thank you. Seeking once more the Lord's help as we come to the reading of his holy word, I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke and reading together chapter 2. The Gospel according to Luke and reading together chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she was coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and man. So reads the word of the Lord. May he help us now to continue in prayer. Almighty and ever merciful and all knowing and long suffering Creator of heaven and of earth, we come before thee once more to the throne of grace that thou hast given unto thy people, that we may come unto thee through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Lord, for the wonder of redeeming love. We thank thee for the plan of salvation. We thank thee for the gift of thine own beloved Son, whom thou didst send into this world, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law. We thank thee for thy word that thou hast given to us, that we may know thee, the only true God, and thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O Lord, that thou art a prayer-hearing and answering God. We do acknowledge that there is no other God beside thee. All other gods are the imagination of men's minds and the creation of their hands, without the true and living God. We do acknowledge also that there is no other way of salvation, that Jesus Christ is the door unto thee. And we do thank thee, O Lord, that one and another here have had these things revealed unto them, and they've been able to enter in through the narrow way that leads to life. And we come, Lord, rejoicing in that wonderful gift, that wonderful way of salvation. We do acknowledge our sin, our iniquity. We do acknowledge our shortcomings and our failings. We do acknowledge our lack of faith and our unbelief. And we do acknowledge, O Lord, that we do listen to the temptations and the whispers of Satan seeking to draw us aside. We do acknowledge, O Lord, that we are not the people that we ought to be. But we do thank thee for the robe of righteousness which has been granted unto all who believe upon thy Son. We do thank thee for the gift of thy Holy Spirit, that thou hast made our bodies the temple of thy Holy Spirit. And we do thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast called thy people from darkness into light, and thou hast brought them on that narrow way which leads to eternal life. We thank thee, Lord, and for thy many mercies bestowed upon us. And we thank thee for bringing us even to the end of another year. We acknowledge thy goodness towards us, those who are here this day, for thou hast granted us a life for another year. We pray, Lord, that this day, this last day of another year, may not be a wasted day. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou draw near unto us, that it may be a blessed Sabbath day to finish off this year. We ask, Lord, that as we endeavour to try and draw near unto thee, that thou would also draw near unto us. We pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may be manifested amongst us, that we may know something of his touch within our hearts, that our hearts may burn within us. We ask, Lord, that we may be granted ears that hear and eyes that are enabled to see, and our hearts that have been broken and are contrite in thy sight, and that thy word may enter in as seed into good ground, that it may bear forth fruit for thy honour and for thy glory. You know, Lord, that many may come to the end of a year and look back with sadness. Sadness over the loss of loved ones. Sadness over the loss of sins committed. Sadness over the mistakes that have been made and things that have been said and actions that have been done which are displeasing in thy sight. We pray, Lord, that we may be comforted, that we may be able to rest in the promises of thy word. We pray for those who are reminded of the loss of loved ones, that they may have a peace within their heart, that thou comfort them and bless them. Do undertake for them, Lord, if it could please thee. And we pray that they may sense thy loving arms round about them. We pray, Lord, for those who have children who have gone far out into the world, that this day have no concern for their never dying souls. We ask, Lord, that thou hear prayer. Another year has passed by and they have laboured at the throne of grace and the petitioning that thy Spirit may go and work within their hearts. And we would pray, Lord, that even today that thou'd open up their understanding, to bring them into a condition of being in want and draw them back to the house of prayer. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling and finding life difficult, especially at this time of year, to undertake for them and bless them. We pray for those who are suffering with mental disorders and mental sickness and depression. And we pray, Lord, that they might come to focus afresh upon thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to help them, Lord, we pray. We pray for those who are struggling with bodily weaknesses, especially through this cold, wintry weather. We pray for them, Lord, that thou strengthen them and lay thy healing touch upon them if it could please thee. We pray for those who are laid aside through sickness, a lot of sickness and flu and colds passing around at this time of year. We pray for those unable to gather with us through sickness and old age. Do bless and be with them. We ask, Lord, that thou use the means that have been granted to us, and that they may sense and know thy presence with them. We do acknowledge that thou art in all places and at all times, and we cannot go away from thy presence. We pray for the children. We thank thee, Lord, for them. We ask that thou draw near to them, for thou hast said in thy word to bring them unto thee. Do not forbid them or rebuke them. We pray, Lord, that thou touch them within their hearts, that they may call upon thee early in their lives, that they may find thee. Do enable them, Lord, to pursue the one thing that is needful. Do grant them a spiritual concern. Do grant them that desire to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that they may be helped as they prepare themselves to go back to school in the coming weeks. Do watch over them, Lord, we pray, and do be with them, help them, and not to be drawn aside after the many peer pressures and temptations that are there. Do watch over them, we pray. We do remember those who are homeschooled also. Do be with them and help them. Be with the parents undertaking that labour, and we do pray that it might be of a benefit to them. And Lord, we ask that thou help those who are struggling with such things. Do remember the younger people also, we pray. Those at college and university going back in the coming weeks, do watch over them also. We pray again, Lord, that they may also be kept from the temptations of Satan, the lusts of the flesh. We pray that they may be enabled to keep their bodies pure and undefiled, that they may be able to resist the many, many temptations which are round about us in our modern age. We pray for the parents also. Do help us, Lord, day by day, to raise our children in thy knowledge and in thy fear. We pray, Lord, that we may be granted wisdom, that we may guide them and direct them. Do enable us to be godly examples, Christ-like examples within the home. Help us as husbands to be a good ruler, to love our wives and to take care of them. Help the wives also to respect and to honour and to obey. And do undertake, Lord, we pray, where the conflict arises within marriage. We pray for those who are struggling at such a time as this within their marriage. We pray, Lord, that they may come to thy word, that they may come to the throne of grace, that thou show them the right way. We pray, Lord, for those who go to work day by day, who labour for the family. Do strengthen them and encourage them, and do provide, we pray. We do remember also those older in years, those struggling with the lack of assurance of their salvation. We pray that thou undertake for them and comfort them, that they may know that they are loved with an everlasting love, that they are thine own child, they have been adopted into thine own family. Do reveal these things to them, we pray. Our Lord, do help us day by day. Help thy people day by day to walk worthy of our calling. Do grant us a greater measure of faith. We pray, Lord, that we may never be left to bring shame upon thy name, to bring shame upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do keep us, Lord, from all evil. Do keep us with a repentant and a sorrowful heart. Do help us to run with patience that race that is set before us, looking unto thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to lay aside all sin and every weight that does so easily beset us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that thou bless this place of worship. We thank thee for those who gather. We thank thee for the officers in the church. We thank thee for the church members, and we pray that they may be knit together with the unity of the Spirit. We ask that thou help them as the deacons to undertake their role and the extra work that is granted to them as they do not have a pastor. We pray, Lord, that thou provide them a man after thine own heart to minister amongst them, that they may have a settled ministry, that they may be led and directed, and loved and cherished. We pray, Lord, that thou grant them a unity of mind, that thou set their thoughts upon a man if it could please thee. We pray for the neighbours, those who walk by. We pray, Lord, that they may be drawn into this place, that they may hear thy word, that they may understand that they are accountable unto thee on that great day of judgment. We pray that they may be drawn in. We pray that there may be those who take Bibles from the front, that they may lay hold of the word of life. We pray, Lord, that thou use those means that are there, if it could please thee, to attract them into this place, that they may hear the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for our land and those who rule over us. Do remember them, we pray. Do guide them in the decisions that they have to make, and we ask that their hearts may be changed. We pray for those who are thy people, who seek to fight for what is right and true. Do grant them that strength day by day. Think of the sorrow and sadness in this world, the death and the wars and the rumours of wars. We ask, Lord, that thou make us ready to stand before thee. Help us, Lord, to be ready for the coming of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those who have lost loved ones in the conflicts, those who have been maimed and injured. We pray that they may be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that these may be a means to accomplish thine own will. We think of the missionaries who are throughout this world, to be with them, Lord, we pray, who have taken thy word to far off lands, to be with them, especially at this time of year. We ask that they may see a movement of thy Holy Spirit and a gathering into the sheepfold of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou raise up others also, men after thine own heart, that the harvest is truly great, yet the labourers are so few. For thou hast said, we are to come unto thee. For thou art the Lord of the harvest. Thou art the one who dost send forth men into the harvest, into the vineyard, into the streets and lanes of this land of ours. We would pray, Lord, that thou touch even someone this day, that lay a burden upon them if it could please thee, that they may be ushered forth to proclaim the gospel of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou come and help us once more. For thy strength is perfected in weakness. We thank thee that thy word will not return unto thee void, but it will accomplish that wherewith thou wilt send it. And we pray that it may be sent into our hearts, that we may have an 11th hour blessing, as we come to the last day of this year, that we pray, Lord, that thou grant us a promise to carry us over into the next. Do draw near to us, we pray. Do enable me to speak. Do pour in that I may be able to pour out. As we ask these things in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 699. 699. Lord, we adore thee and would fain express thy matchless goodness and our worthlessness. Ashamed of self, we prostrate at thy door, confess our sin, and thy free grace implore. Hymn 699. Thank you.
seeking once more the Lord's help to grant me the words to speak to you this morning. I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter that we read together, Luke chapter 2, and the text you'll find in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I'm quite sure that many of you would have read over this chapter over the past few weeks, as it's the time of year when the church remembers the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these passages in the Gospels are often read to remind us of the wonderful way in which God accomplished his plan of salvation by sending his beloved Son into the world. The scripture tells us when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem those who are under the law. And the Gospels tell us of the very wonderful way in which God accomplished that plan of salvation through Mary, the Virgin Mary. And as we come to the end of the year, as time moves on, often these chapters are forgotten, and we don't remember them again until another year has passed, and we come back to the same scriptures and we begin to read them again, and we are reminded of what took place, of the very humble way that God, as the hymn writers often say, was contracted to a span and was born into this world of ours. Humble beginnings into a humble family. Yet he himself, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we have the mind of Mary, these things didn't just pass her by. They weren't just a wonder for an occasion, for a time of year, but there was something in which she kept hold of. She kept them as precious, and she pondered them in her heart. And what are these things then that she kept? Mary kept in her mind everything that had been said to her, everything that was being fulfilled round about her, everything that was taking place round about her. As she was just a young girl waiting to be married, and then the angel Gabriel entered into her life and changed her life, the course of her life forever. Although she was just a poor girl, and Joseph also being a poor man, we see as they offered up those offerings at the temple for the poor. Although she was just a poor girl, yet the scripture tells us that she was highly favoured. Hail, as the angel Gabriel speaks to her and says, "Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And so although she is poor and at the bottom of society, having probably been looked down upon by the wealthy of her time, yet God chose her to use her as the means by which Christ would be born of a woman, the seed of the woman. And although of her own self, she wasn't holy, she isn't worthy to be worshipped, yet she is bestowed grace. Another word for this: highly favoured, or the Lord is with thee. Thou hast found favour in the sight of God. In Luke chapter 1 is the similar way into which God spoke about Moses. Not Moses, sorry, Noah. For Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That undeserved love. Mary also found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Although poor and insignificant in the sight of man, yet highly favoured in the sight of Almighty God. And so favoured that she was going to be the channel by which Christ was going to be born into this world. And so favoured that the angels were going to sing of this account. The angels, as they winged their way down to the shepherds, to tell them the glorious news that one was going to be born into the world. That they were going to, that they carried with them, bring good tidings of great joy that should be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And so Mary kept all of these things. That great promise that had been given to her, that she was going to be that means by which Christ was going to be born. That she was going to conceive within her womb, and she was going to bring forth a son, that she was going to call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. What an amazing experience that she had. What an amazing promise that she had bestowed upon her. And then as she saw that promise come about into reality, she was able to lay hold of it and keep it as her own. You see, sometimes we are, aren't we, given promises by the Lord, by the Spirit. The Spirit applies certain truths of his holy word to us as individual believers. And those promises, they become ours. Maybe it's a promise about something in the future. Maybe it's a promise about one of your loved ones that has gone astray into the world. And you have a promise that one day the Lord is going to lay hold of them and bring them back. And all the while, that promise is just a promise. Satan is there to attack. Satan wants to destroy. We have made it all up. Look how far they have gone. There's no way, there's not a chance that they are going to be brought back to salvation. All the time that is a promise, it has the opportunity for doubts and fears and unbelief to come in. Even with our own salvation. All the time we are resting upon the word of God. It's a promise that has been made to us that we are loved with an everlasting love. All that time, there is an opportunity for Satan to come in and to destroy and to accuse. What if you're a child of God? Why do you do this? If you're a child of God, why do you think like that? Why don't you not meditate upon the law of the Lord day and night? Why aren't you not like the psalmist? And all the time as we're walking this earth and we're walking by faith, in trusting in the promises of the word of God, constantly there is an attack. But when that promise becomes a reality, either when Christ comes or we step from this world into the eternal world, then all of those doubts and fears will be removed. And we'll be able to see Christ as he is. And Mary had a promise that she would bring forth a son. You could think about it in her mind. All the while, that was a promise. Satan would come and attack. Doubts and fears would worm their way in. How can these things be? But as time went on, as she began to see the unfolding of those promises, the unfolding or the coming to a reality of the words of the angels, she was able to keep them. She was able to keep them as her own. But Mary kept these things. As she delivered her baby, as she looked at maybe by the way that Providence funneled her to Bethlehem. And she gives birth in there in that lowly place and lays her beautiful child in a manger. And then shepherds come, telling her of all that has been accomplished in their lives, all that had taken place in that evening. How they tell her of the angels giving the message and singing the songs. You can see her mind beginning to whirl as one piece of the jigsaw puzzle is added, another block is added to the promise, and she begins to see the greater picture of this little baby that she has given birth to. And then she goes to to the temple. And a little bit more is added. We read, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. As they went to Simeon, and the way in which he was moved by the Spirit to meet the child Jesus. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You see, as the promise unfolds in the life of this little child, and these holy men, or this holy man, a man of the temple, Simeon, how he is moved by the Spirit to confess great things concerning this child. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Yes, it was amazing. Yes, they marveled at those things which were spoken. Yes, the prophecy was going to pierce through her own soul also. Often, isn't it? When we have a little baby, the joy that it brings to a family, not just a family, to the wider circle, and even to a church. But with every little baby, as it takes its first breath, nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows how long that child will live. Nobody knows what that child will accomplish in its life. Nobody knows whether that child will be born again of the Spirit or not. Nobody knows whether it will reach 90 or 100 years old or be cut down just as a young age. But God knows. And these things were revealed to Mary and Joseph, that their little child was something great was in store for him. Something that would be painful for her. That would be revealed to her slowly by slowly. Or slowly. And then when he's 12 years old, as they go to the Passover, to keep the feast of the Passover, Jesus goes missing. And they find him in the temple. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why have you done this? Why have you run away? Every parent knows the anxiety that a missing child brings. And I don't think many of us have had a child missing for 3 days, and you can understand why, as you would be annoyed and cross. Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and thy mother have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the sayings which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You see, she was building up a treasure trove of promises. As she looked at her son, and she was reminded of those of the promise 12 years ago or more, that he would be great, that he would sit on his, he would be the son of the highest, that she should call his name Jesus, that he would be great. He'd be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom shall have no end. How could she understand all of those things? How could she bring them all together and comprehend them with the human mind? She couldn't all in one go. But as she saw his life unfold, she began to put one and two and three together. She began to gather up all of the pieces and see the bigger picture. She began to fix the jigsaw puzzle together and see the pieces and the great wonder of salvation, that her son would be the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, but also he'd be the Son of David. Son of God, yet Son of Man. David's Lord and David's God. And as different ones began to hear about this miraculous birth and come to visit her, she stepped back, as it were, with wonder. Looked at all that was going on. And kept all of these things in her heart. Think in Matthew. The wise men are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ by the star. Matthew chapter 2. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. In verse 11, and when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You see the picture is unfolding before her eyes. The promises are becoming a reality. Son of the Highest. The Son of David. His kingdom will have no end. And those wise men come and they present to him gifts. Gifts suitable for a king. And yet Mary and Joseph, poor people who cannot offer the fullest sacrifice before a holy God, but present two turtle doves or two pigeons. Though poor, yet blessed. Though poor, yet highly favoured of God. Though poor, yet she had the grace of God bestowed upon her. Her heart was soft and receptive to the message that was given to her, and she believed the things that were spoken. Elizabeth says in her in her song. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. Sorry, verse 45. She says, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." You see, Elizabeth believed also what was spoken. And she says, "Blessed are you, Mary, for you also have believed, and there will be a performance of those things that have been spoken." You see, God, he cannot lie. And as he revealed these things to Mary, they were going to unfold and become a reality. That's the same with every single child of God. God makes promises to his people. "I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you." And if you have been drawn to Christ, if you have been given the gift of faith to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, it will be tried and tempted and fought over, yet it cannot fail. That promise is as good as done. And it will be performed. And one day, you will see Christ. That promise will be fulfilled. And you will see Christ face to face. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Another word for this pondering is to weigh up, or to gather together. As I said earlier about the jigsaw puzzle, sometimes, even at Christmas time, you get a new jigsaw puzzle and you open them all up and all of the pieces are scattered all over the place. And you've got to gather them up and you've got to bring them together and work out which one goes where. And as Mary saw all that was going on, she saw, as it were, a jigsaw puzzle. She had the promise, she had the picture there given to her, but now she had all of the pieces, the reality of those pieces being brought together before her eyes. She looked on, as it were, as the Lord did wondrously. Remember, she didn't call to the shepherds. The shepherds came. The shepherds were sent of the angels to her, and as she looked on, she kept these things and she thought upon them, she meditated upon them and brought them together in her mind. It was all unfolding before her eyes. You think, the theologians say that Mary could have been about 16 to 17 years old, according to the culture of that day, at that time, when they would get married. And we would say just a young girl. And you think of what had, and naturally speaking, what had come into her life. The Lord had come and almost upturned everything. And the natural mind cannot fully comprehend sometimes what God is doing. The things are so vast and so great that you just have to sit back and wonder. You just have to sit back and look on, as the Lord does wondrously, and to meditate and try and piece all of those things together and work it all out. Yet Mary, of her own self, she could not, because the pieces were added to daily, as it were, or yearly. As the life of her child went on, other bits were added, until one day she sat at the foot of the cross with the other women and saw her son, the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified upon the tree. And then the reality of those words, "And yea, it shall pierce thine own soul also." It was painful. Not only did she love the Lord Jesus Christ as her own natural son, yet she loved him as her saviour. yea, a sword shall pierce thine own soul also. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. As we're at the end of the year, no doubt we have had friends and loved ones who have not made it this far, who have passed away in the year or the years before. But we're here. And I wonder if we have got anything stored up over the past year in the treasure trove of our hearts. As we've looked on as God has worked, as we've seen him move this way and move that way and accomplish things for us, I wonder if we can sit down like Mary and meditate, try and pull all the pieces together and see all that the Lord is doing. But another thing I thought of was, this shows her gracious character. We live in a day when people don't like to keep things within their hearts. We live in a day of gossiping and busybodying. We live in a day of social media, Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and other things in which people use to broadcast their lives. Even things that you probably don't really want to know are placed there. But we see with Mary, she was discreet. She didn't broadcast as the shepherds did all the things that were happening to her. The shepherds went and broadcast everywhere the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. But Mary kept them in her heart. The natural man would like to boast of even experience. Did you know an angel came to me and spoke to me? Did you know I am going to be the means by which Christ is born into this world? And she could have gone and broadcast it around everywhere, but Mary kept these things. And she pondered them. She thought about them. She meditated upon them. She tried to piece it all together. She didn't want to be the centre of attention. Although God brought people to her, she did not go out looking for people. Not only did she keep these things in her heart, she also kept herself. You know, sometimes when ministers are studying and preparing for what to preach, lines of thought come into their minds that you wish never did. Things that you believe that you have to say. You would rather not say. Not only did Mary keep these things in her heart, she also kept herself. The scripture tells us in Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. this girl had kept herself. Although she was engaged, she was undefiled, untouched. When I used to dig foundations, especially on the downs, the building inspector would say, make sure you go down to virgin chalk. And you would know when you had hit virgin chalk because it was pure and white. You see, infill or unvirgin chalk was dirty. It had been moved about already. It had been touched already. It wasn't suitable for a foundation. And therefore he said, dig through it and come to virgin ground. And so virgin means pure and untouched. And in the case of Mary, it meant that she had not known a man, she had not known Joseph, and therefore she was a suitable girl to be used as a channel for which to bring the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And she even confesses, how can these things be, seeing I don't know a man? We live in a day that is rife with immorality. There is no bounds to what can be done. As long as we are having fun and enjoying ourselves, it doesn't matter what we do. But the scriptures tell us that our bodies have been created by God, and they've been created for a purpose. And that purpose is not to use it as a means of pleasure to do anything that we want to do. There are restraints that have been given to us. In Corinthians, it tells us about a certain sin, which is, we can say, worse than other sins because it is a sin against the body. You see, you can rob, you can steal, you can murder, you can tell lies, you can be disobedient to your parents, you can hate God, you can hate Christ. But all of these things are done outside of the body. But there is a sin which is a sin against our own flesh, and that is the sin of fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the apostle writing to the Corinthians in verse 18 says, flee fornication. Now the word fornication, without being graphic, is any immoral act done outside of marriage, or even adultery in marriage. Flee it. And he gives a reason. For every sin that a man does without the body, that he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. And the world say, do what you want. Go and enjoy yourself. Have as many partners as you like. Fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And yet the scripture tells us that this sin is a sin against our own body. It is using the body as a tool for which it is not meant to be used for. Those intimate relationship is only to be had within a marriage union. Outside of that marriage union, it is a sin. And it's a sin, a grievous sin, against your own flesh. Or maybe you've been let loose. You've gone off to college or you've gone off to university and you think that your mum and dad doesn't know anything about you. You think you're free to do whatever you want. But you've forgotten something. That God sees every single thing that you do. And I do. And that your body is not your own. And should you commit those types of sins, you will regret it for the rest of your life. It is different from any other sin you commit. It is remembered for as long as you live. Flee fornication. In Proverbs it says, the world, they say, come with us and we will do you good. The only good they will do you is send you to an eternal hell by convincing you that they're having a good time, they're having a laugh, they're fulfilling their own desires. But the consequences, the wages of sin, it is death. Now maybe you have been led astray and you can no longer call yourself like Mary a virgin. You are touched, you are unclean. But Christ does not abandon such. Satan may tell you, well, you've done all of this stuff. There's no hope. There's no hope for you. And what does he say, Paul, here in verse 9 of the same chapter? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And if we left it there, we would all weep. We would all confess, then there is no hope for me. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, and such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such were. That means they were like it. But they're not like it anymore because something has taken place. They have been washed of their sin. They've been sanctified. They've been justified. Their sins have been eradicated under the work of Christ on the cross. Their sins have been wiped away. And so Mary kept all of these things and pondered them within her heart. But she also kept herself as a vessel fit for the Master's use. And so we see her character. In just these few words that she kept them and she pondered them. She didn't broadcast those things that had happened to her. And we see that she was a humbled girl. In chapter 1 of Luke, in verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Not only was she humbled, but she had faith to believe what the angel said. Zacharias, in a few verses backwards, he didn't believe. He wanted a sign. He wanted greater revelation. What are you going to do? He says. And he says, you're going to be dumb until these things are spoken. But Mary, not out of unbelief, just out of a wondering as to how these things could be accomplished, seeing that she did not know a man. But she says, behold, the handmaid or the servant of the Lord. And so it shows her character. She believed those things that were spoken. In our day, we don't really get much time for meditation. Something that we noticed coming back from Kenya. The lifestyle there is a slower pace. And you come back to England and everything is full on. 100 miles an hour. We've got all these things to make our lives easier. Washing machines, dishwashers, tumbled dryers, cars and such like. They're all designed to give us more time, yet we don't have any time. Constantly running this way and that way, and we don't have time to meditate upon those things that are precious and eternal. In Philippians, it tells us there. Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in them, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So I've said we're, especially the younger people, bombarded by social media. All the time our minds are occupied with other things. We go into town and there's adverts and there's music and such like, and there's no time for meditation. Yet the scripture tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1 actually, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth, it shall prosper. His delight was to meditate upon God's word. And as Mary meditated on God's word, of the word of the angel, and as she saw it unfolding in her life, the promises becoming a reality, they were like treasures that she could hide within her own heart and bring them up and think about them again. We talk about Ruth, don't we? She beat out what she gleaned in the field. How often that what we glean in the place of worship is snatched from us. As soon as we walk out the door on a Monday, we're busy with everything and the word is snatched and there's no time for meditation to enable it to bear fruit for God's honour and for his glory. And may we be then like Mary. May we find young people that you'll have a desire to be like Mary, as she kept herself pure for her husband. And keep yourself pure for your wife. And meditate upon these things. Ponder them. Bring them together. Not as Christmas has gone and passed, but continue to think about the incarnation of Christ and wonder whether all of these things, they were done for you. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Amen.
God willing, the guardian will address the Sunday school this afternoon. And Mr. Graham Hadley is expected to preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Paul Austin is expected to preach and hopes to address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper. And our Oakington friends hold their New Year prayer meeting at 10:30 tomorrow morning. And St. Ives' New Year prayer meeting is at 7:15 on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 461. 461. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each thy love possessing triumph in redeeming grace. O refresh us, travelling through this wilderness. Hymn 461.
Almighty God, we do thank thee for thy word and for the challenge that it gives to us. And we pray that we may be granted hearts that are enabled to store up thy promises. And we pray that thou grant us that ability to meditate upon thy word, and do make us ready, we pray, for that day when we may be called away from this earth to the next, that we may be ready to meet thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God with the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit do rest and abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.